Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thanks, Steve. We're going to talk about a different way to work camp today. A lot of people think that work camping means you work at a campground just to get a free RV site. That is not always the case. If you work or run a business while you're in an RV, you're work camping. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know how to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, be sure to visit www.nrvta.com. When you're living the RV dream, every day is a weekend. That's especially the case when you own your own business and can set your own hours. Dana Tickner and her husband Vaughn have been full-time RVing for 10 years. What makes their situation so unique is that they've been full-time RVing with 12 children, 7 boys and 5 girls. In the past, they worked construction jobs to finance their travel adventures. With a base in Helena, Montana, the family would return home every spring. They'd work on construction projects and save their pennies so they could take off and play all winter in the warm climates. A few years ago, one of Dana's daughters wanted to sell hair accessories at campground shows, so Dana signed up to become a distributor for Lilla Rose products. What started as a part-time venture for her kids to make money has morphed into a big business that now fully funds the family's lifestyle. Now they're no longer tied to summer construction projects, so they can use their construction skills in pursuit of a new passion to help people recover from disasters. Whenever a tornado, flood, hurricane, or other natural disaster impacts a community, the Tickner family packs everything up in their RV and races to the scene. They'll help clean up the area and then begin rebuilding the lives of the others impacted by the disaster. In this episode, Dana Tickner explains how the family makes money running a small business. She also describes some of the challenges they've faced as a large family on the road. The Tickner tribe, as they like to be called, will inspire you to venture out on your own to live the lifestyle you've always dreamed of enjoying. In this interview, we sort of jump right in talking about her business. However, she covers a lot of material in about 35 minutes. So please welcome Dana Tickner to the show. So tell us a little bit about Lilla Rose and how you came about involved in it.
Okay, so Lilla Rose is a direct sales hair accessories company. And I actually founded, I discovered the company on a blog. At the time, I wasn't really looking for a business. They were just beautiful hair accessories that I thought my 5 girls and I would like. And so I actually signed my daughter up to sell them. So she was 15, and you could sign her up, you know, a minor up with your own security, social security number. And so I signed her up thinking it would be some little fun thing. She could do craft shows at the campgrounds or something like that. And so we never really intended it for a business. It was just something for her to do on the road. And because I'm a very frugal person, and I wanted to be able to buy the hair clips at a discount. Mm-hmm. So that was my whole reason for signing up. And she kind of played around with it. We fell in love with the product. And 3 years later, when she moved out and took all of her Lilla Rose stuff with her, because she was indeed, you know, kind of running it as a business off and on, then I decided that I needed to have the inside scoop on the new products. I needed to still be able to order the discount, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun meeting all these people at the campgrounds, because at the time we just did little events, that I wanted for the little girls, my younger daughters, and I to still be able to do that. So I signed up. And I started to do these shows, and it just kind of exploded. So it just works really great for us because the product travels really well. It's direct sales, so I can either, you know, I mostly grow my business in that I focus on selling the product to the customer. that's where I make my income. And so it's just worked out really good for us on the road.
Okay. Very good. So do you do shows at the campgrounds, or are you just doing like local RV shows or craft shows, et cetera, that might be in whatever area you happen to be in at the time?
Yeah. So that has morphed a lot over the years. When I first started doing it, when I first started doing it myself instead of my daughter doing it, I just continued doing what we had done together, which was, you know, like a little craft show in Palm Springs or something. You know, it was at our local campground, and I didn't really seek out shows. But now I realized the business kind of grew on its own because of the product. And so it really morphed into this bigger thing all on its own without any guidance from me. And but I did start to see the potential for income. And so it's a mobile business, so I can take it anywhere. That really appealed to me. Mm-hmm. And so now I actually do some really large shows. I don't do craft shows at campgrounds anymore. There's been occasions where I will leave some of my inventory and one of my teenage daughters will do a show at a campground, but I'm usually off, because those are usually on Saturday mornings, I'm usually off at some sort of a festival, a Renaissance fair, all sorts of a women's expo, something like that, no longer in the campgrounds, because now I'm doing, you know, shows that run anywhere from 20 to 65,000 people.
Oh my, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
And how do you find these shows? How do you find the
show?
There
are some websites online, and generally when I want to, every once in a while I'll hear about a show that I'm super curious about, and those ones usually tend to be really fun shows, like we did a pig wrestling festival, my kids loved it, or food festivals are super popular with us. So occasionally I will hear of a festival, and we will make a point to go there. We will make a route that takes us there. Sometimes, though, I will just, either where we're at, where we want to go, there's some websites online, or I will just Google if we have a certain, like, city or area that I want to go to, then we will type in festivals or craft shows or food fairs, anything like that, in that location, and we just search out the shows that way.
Okay. So you know where you're going to be pretty much, and then you look for things within an hour or two driving distance?
Yes.
Yep, okay.
So for the most part, yes. There have been times when we will change our route for a show. We prefer to find shows where we want to go. But there have also been times where we have had an opportunity to do something somewhere, and I've already signed up for a show, and I know it's a good one because I've either done it before or just know enough about it that I don't want to miss it, or it was super expensive, and I will drive to that show and leave my family wherever we're parked. Mm-hmm. So one time, in fact, this last winter, we were working in North Carolina. My husband was helping a friend remodel a church camp, and I had already signed up for a rattlesnake festival in Texas. I had to think of what the show was. Mm-hmm. We'd already signed up for it because we do it every year. So I rented a Suburban and took what kids wanted to go with me, and we drove from North Carolina to Texas to do that festival because financially it's worth it. You know, it's a good income show. I also didn't want to lose the show. So, yeah, occasionally it works out that it's not a good thing that I signed up for shows ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So typically I like to sign up for shows last minute, but I do have some anchor shows that I do every year, and wherever we're at, I will rent a car and drive to wherever that show is.
I should probably get some details about your family, because you use this business to support your family, and it's not a typical family. It's rather large. So why don't you describe how that all works?
So my husband and I started RVing about a little over 10 years ago. At the time, we had just had our 11th child. We had another baby on the road. So we have 12 kids altogether. They have all traveled with us full time. But they're starting to grow up and get their own lives. And so we are down to 7 kids at home. And some of them will come help me with my shows. It's pretty, like, everything is pretty expensive for our family.
Yeah. I can imagine.
It takes quite a bit to pay those bills, yeah.
What's the mix of boys and girls?
Altogether, we have 7 boys and 5 girls.
Okay, very good. And you do a lot of construction. In fact, that's pretty much what funds your travel, correct? Every summer you're doing involved in some sort of construction projects up in Montana, typically, unless there's a natural disaster somewhere?
Yes and no. So when we first started construction, which is what my husband had done before we started full-time RVing, was our main income. He was a carpenter. And so when we got on the road, we were able to, because we did not have any debt, we were able to work in the summers. So we would come back to Montana in the summer, and he would work all summer, and we would save our pennies so that we could go play down south in the winter. But because we're not here all year, it is harder to maintain at your customer base, because he doesn't advertise. He doesn't want to work for just anybody. So our source of income has kind of morphed. And so now a lot of our income, the majority of our income, comes from Little Rose. We do still do some, my husband and the boys still do some construction work here in Montana in the summers. But like right now, this is the end of September. One of the things that we have gotten involved with since we started RVing is disaster relief work. And so it's a passion to go into an area and help clean up and help these people rebuild our lives. So, but one of the things that if we want to be able to do that, we need is flexibility. So like right now, my husband has been in the Bahamas for 3 weeks, and so he doesn't have that same income as if he were here doing construction.
Well, that's a good thing then, because you have this side business. So your primary income used to be construction. And you, if I'm remembering correctly of all the conversations we've had over the years, is that you would do a lot of work. Your husband and the boys generally would work a lot of construction jobs in the summer. And then before the first snowfall fell in Montana, you'd be in that RV and you'd be heading south. And the work from construction would fund all of the travel for that winter. Is that how it used to be? Okay. And so you start.
And it's still, now it's morphed to where in the summer, the Vaughn and the boys still do construction, but it generally pays for things like tires or our insurance for the year or stuff like that, you know, one-time bills. And I can still do my business wherever I am. So I can do it when I'm parked here in the summer, but then I can do it, you know, different places every week on the road. So it's kind of morphed to where we source a lot more from this direct sales business than we do from construction. And, you know, Vaughn's getting older, so he doesn't enjoy, you know, roofing or doing concrete as much as he once did. And so it's nice to be able to take that focus off of him having to work huge amounts of hours during the summer so that we could take the winter off.
Okay. But you are able to support a family of 7 kids living in the RV with you and your husband, primarily from Lilla Rose now.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. I'm sure a lot of people will find that helpful or interesting to know that they can do this, because one of the first questions everybody asks when they're thinking of going full-timing is, how do we make money on the road? And so with this direct sales business, there's no inventory, really a lot of inventory for you to stock, because it's hair supplies and accessories, correct?
Yeah. So with Lilla Rose, I actually do have a lot of inventory. I run about $12,000 to $15,000 worth of inventory, but because our products are these little tiny hair clips, they don't take up very much space at all. So it is super easy for us to have totes that, they're not even totes. I put all of my products in fishing tackle boxes, sorted by size, and I can just haul it everywhere with me. It doesn't deteriorate, so it can stay in the vehicle. You know, like I don't have to unload it every time I get home like I would with food or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I do carry inventory. You do not have to with this company. There are people who only do online stuff. So they will do a lot of like maybe Facebook Lives or YouTube videos and stuff to show people how to use the hair accessories. And they work with their customers that way.
Okay.
My comfort zone, I call it my poison, is to go to these festivals and have booths because I have the most fun meeting all those women. And just like at my last show, somebody came in and said, "Oh, so this is the fun booth." And that's true. And so, it's very interactive. It's a lot of fun. And so I choose, that is my main focus. But other people, it isn't for everybody. Mm-hmm. Not everybody carries inventory. And I don't really know anybody that carries as much inventory as I do.
Okay, so when you're just starting out in this business, if other people were interested in doing that, it's possible for them mm-hmm. to get involved. They would not need $12,000 to $15,000 worth of inventory. It would cost them maybe
absolutely not
a couple hundred bucks?
Yes.
To get started?
So,
okay.
It's really inexpensive to get into it. Our kit is fabulous, and it costs $89.
Oh, wow.
And then, that gives you a little bit of everything, all of our different products. And then you can do an add-on kit. It's called a Fast Start. That does cost $500, but you get $1,100 worth of product. That is really only for people who either want a lot of cash and carry or they want to do shows like I do.
Mm-hmm.
It took me years to build up to the level of inventory that I have. And part of the reason that I carry so much inventory is because of the way we travel. So okay. If I want to say I sell $4,000 one weekend, but we're traveling the whole week or whatever, I don't want to have to stop and wait for more inventory to catch up to me. So it's a personal preference based on how much we like to travel. If we stayed in one area a little bit longer, then I would not need to carry nearly that inventory. But my goal is to be able to do two or three shows without having to wait for inventory to catch up to me, basically.
Okay. So you're building this inventory over time. You're taking profits that you made from the sale of some of the hair supplies and accessories, and then, you know, some of it goes to support the family, and you're investing the rest of it back into your business, or as a part of it back into your business.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. Super.
Yes, I always order a few more products than what I sold, and that gives me the ability to gift some, to bless somebody with some who maybe can't afford it, or something like that, or just to grow my inventory. And but my goal is always to keep growing. And it's kind of funny because you think when I started, I had this goal of, oh, I'd love to have, you know, say $3,000 worth of inventory. Well, you get to $3,000 and then you're like, well, it'd be really nice if I had $4,500.
And then it keeps growing and growing. But having that kind of inventory allows you to go to these kind of shows and sell a bunch of product. So how many hours a week would you typically say that you would be investing in your business?
So I try to invest an hour a day, and that's in maybe writing thank you notes. It's connecting with people online. It is posting to social media. It might be follow-up from contacts that I received at the last festival that I worked. I try to invest an hour a day in my business, and that's kind of optional. Like, I might not do anything on Monday because we're going out to play and play tourists, and I might, you know, put in a little more time on Tuesday. My work week really is the weekend. So some weekends, I might work, because I have a show, I might work all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Other weekends, I might just, my show might only be on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, some weekends I take off. especially if we're doing disaster relief and everything's kind of shut down in that area. And then I work more online, trying to build up those online orders because I earn the same amount with no fees, like no boost costs, no fuel, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right. That'd be nice. Nice way to make money.
Yeah.
Now, is this a business that your kids can help you with?
Yes, they do all the time. So they will help me organize. They generally stock my inventory for me. Somebody comes to every one of my shows with me. If it's an outside show, you know, we have to set up a canopy. So then I usually take one of the boys for muscles. I have a son that is a natural salesman. And so I like to take him on the outside super busy shows because he is really gifted. Even though it's hair clips, he works so good with people. And then my girls right now are 10, 12, and 14. And so they kind of alternate who goes with me. So I'll take in one or two of them. And they actually help customers. They know how to run my credit card machine. We use them as hair models all the time. They help customers because they know how to do, you know, all the demos. They help people figure out what size hair clips they need, all that kind of stuff. They can run my booth as well as I can.
That's really nice. Yeah, that helps you a lot.
Yeah.
And it also makes it a family business. So they grow up seeing that they're working and how it's impacting the family, how they're able to play a role in that.
Right. And it gives them an income on the road, too, because they get paid for helping me, depending on, you know, how busy the show is and how good of help they were. You know, it's mm-hmm. Incentive-based income here.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives them a chance to earn money on the road. They earn some great people skills, and it really teaches them initiative because the harder they work, then we have a deal that if somebody comes to my booth and they help, the kids help them, and the kids get paid anyway, but if the customer says, good job, because they're kids. So a lot of people are really floored that my kids can count back change or that they can, you know, add things in their head or that they know just a lot of this information. And so we have a deal that if somebody comes in and they purchase something and the kids are taking care of them and they say, good job, or even if I check out that person and that person said, hey, your daughter did a really good job or something along those lines, then they get a buck for everyone.
Oh, cool.
So that has cost me $35 in one day for one kid.
Oh,
so,
my.
There's
incentive.
Yeah, besides
that's
getting
right.
paid, there's yes. that bonus incentive.
Uh-huh. Very cool. That's the way business should work. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so what kinds of products does Lil Rose provide? I know you said hair accessories. Can you describe them?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we have a one-piece patented hair clip. We have decorative bobby pins. We have these great hair bands that are... they go all the way around your head and they're adjustable so they don't give you headaches. We have hair forks. We just have, I mean, everything that we have is for in your hair and doing your hair. And we're starting to do some consumable products as well, like rose water or sea salt spray, where people are going to want to reorder those every month from you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a little bit both consumable and, you know, long-term products.
Okay. So other people who are looking at this as a possible way to make some money, when they're on the road, if mm-hmm. they don't want to do the shows like you do, is it still possible yes. for them to do it while they're traveling? And how
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think to do it well and to provide an income that is substantial, you would need to be comfortable using social media. And I would highly encourage that person, if they want to make an actual income out of it instead of some just fun money, to be comfortable or get comfortable doing videos. Because let's just be honest. If you are looking for information, where do we all go? We go to the internet and we Google.
That's
and
right.
So, people are watching, they're searching YouTube for help on stuff. And so that is really, if you don't want to do the in-person stuff, that's really where you could build a business. And there is so much potential because there really aren't very many stylists. There are about 1,200 active stylists.
With this company.
People who sell Lila Rose in the entire country.
Wow. Okay. So there's plenty of opportunity out there. And so people can start this business just by working their own circle of influence that they've already established online through the social media channels that they've got, because most of them know other women or women who have daughters or grandmothers or just females of all kinds. And I don't know, a bald guy like me would ever use something like that, but I would certainly be in the market to buy that, to buy something like that as a gift for my spouse or my daughters.
I have sold a lot, especially to dads for their girls. So yes, I buy, or moms. Like, we go to Texas every winter, and a large percentage of my customers are winter Texans. And they are taking back gifts for their kids, you know, because a lot of them have shorter hair. Our hair clips also work on scarves. So a lot of those ladies who have shorter hair, they like to wear scarves. So they make beautiful scarf clips. And so there's a lot of opportunities there.
Sure. Now, Dana, let me ask a really difficult question for you. I know that, you know, multi-level marketing gets a really bad name. But it is possible for you to make money by helping other people start their own businesses on their own. Is that correct?
It is correct. And so there are two different focuses on a business like this. A lot of people don't understand the difference between multi-level marketing and direct sales. And I think Lila Rose is more of a direct sales company because our goal is to get products into the hands of other people. Multi-level marketing, a lot of times, the focus is on signing people up under you. So they buy stuff every month, and then you earn a commission off of their monthly orders. So Lila Rose, a lot of our products are non-consumable. In fact, our hair clip, which is our biggest seller, is made out of piano wire. So it is super non-consumable. They last for years, but we're always coming out with new ones. So it tends to be like a, oh, I need this one. But we do have the option to grow teams as well. And I actually have a team of about 100 ladies.
Wow.
And yes, and I am not a recruiter because that's not my focus. That's not, I love my ladies. A lot of them have become really good friends. But my passion is doing those booths and having fun with the women, actually selling them the product.
But
I do have a passive income from my downline who I help to sell the product as well. And so that is, and there are other women who signed up earlier than I did or who are better recruiters than I am. And they make the majority of their income off of their downline.
Okay.
So, while the focus is still getting product into the hands of the end user, you absolutely do have the ability to earn an income off of other women, helping other women sell Lila Rose as well.
So what I guess I'm getting at is if somebody was interested in starting one of these businesses, they could reach out to you and you would help them not only start it, but get it running off the ground, making money and profitable to support their own families and their own travel. And you do that through product sales, not by recruiting additional salespeople. So it's something that I think is sustainable, to be totally honest. When I've looked at other multi-level marketing or direct sales businesses that are focused on recruiting downline, eventually it all seems to collapse. But when you are helping people to start businesses of their own, I mean, legitimate businesses, I've got a product, I'm offering a service. You're making a little bit of money by helping them fulfill their dreams. And I don't see anything wrong with that. And it's good for you to, based on your experience, you can answer their questions, you can give them marketing tips and things like that. So I would encourage people who are looking for a way to make some money on the road to give you a jingle.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate sure. it. I appreciate that. It's an incredible company. It's a small company. We still have just a huge potential for growth. I think the thing that I love most about it is that it's very personable. So, you know, this is not my first direct sales company. And this one is different because, like, when you call headquarters or, you know, the corporate office, you get the same three ladies that answer the phone, and they know you by name, and it's just fun, and they're just neat people. You are a person. You're not a number. And we have kind of what we call a sisterhood. So we have some social media, like Facebook groups, and there's a big one that pretty much everybody belongs to. There's some offshoots of that. I have one for my team where we all connect and we offer training and support. And there's even a prayer group one and just all sorts of, it's like a family. We call it a sisterhood. Everybody helps each other. It is not super competitive. I have done very well with the company, which floors me because I'm not a salesman. I got into it because I love the product. But for the last 2 years, I've been number one in sales company-wide.
Wow.
And so, I would have never guessed that. That's not why I chose to sign up. But if I can do that, anybody can. If mm-hmm. you have a vision for your family, you could do this.
Okay. And it is portable. So you can do it anywhere in the country.
Yes.
That you want to have.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Exactly.
That sounds very encouraging for a lot of folks. What was I going to say? Hang on. Problem with my age. It comes into my mind and out just as quickly. So,
hey, I'm already doing that.
Yeah. Super. So, that's what it was. Can you offer some encouragement for people who might be thinking of hitting the road and embracing the RV lifestyle, but they're concerned about finances? Is it possible for them to live this dream?
Yes. So for somebody who is considering it, but they haven't worked out the finances, for our family, so if we can do it, anybody can. Because at the time that we started full-timing, we had 11 kids. We did not ever, like a month before this happened, ever consider living in our travel trailer. What happened was we sold our house. We were going to build another one, and we did love to camp, and we also knew that people don't rent houses to other people with 11 kids. So we packed our kids in our RV. We pulled it up to a friend's land because the only RV park here won't let us in because we have too many kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did absolutely nothing to prepare for this lifestyle. We didn't find land before. This was middle of July. We didn't find land in time to put up a garage to live in for the winter and then throw up our house in the spring. So what we did, we decided we would head south in our little travel trailer and we would just camp for the winter and come back in the spring and build our house. And so we got out to the Oregon coast. We took a little detour out there. We were going to go down 101. And we were out there for about 2.5 weeks and had a little family powwow to see how everybody was doing living in a 30-foot bunkhouse. And it was actually our kids who said, do we have to go home and build another house?
What? So, really?
That's neat. And that was over 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we never did build that other house. We stayed out on the road because we loved it. And we wanted it bad enough that we made it happen.
And
so we worked it out, even though it meant coming back here in the summers to work. But I always say, if we could do it, anybody can. But to do it easier than what it took for us to stay out on the road, I would encourage people to find an income stream that is mobile. In fact, if you can do more than one, that's ideal. And something that you enjoy, as always, you're going to make more money if it's a passion instead of a chore. And so something that you enjoy. But I would start working on that income stream. I would research. We knew nothing about traveling in our RV. And we I look back and just cringe at how much money we wasted the first year because we didn't know what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And so we were awesome tourists, but we wasted a lot of money. But yes, it's an incredible lifestyle. It is not for everybody long term. But if you can give your kids the experience of being able to travel for even 6 or 12 months, it's something that I think everybody should go for because it is just a memorable, precious time. Almost all families grow closer together. Mm-hmm. You build incredible memories. So I would encourage people to do what it takes to make it happen. And I do think that direct sales, there are a lot of women out here that do direct sales that work it as a family business. And they are either able to solely support the family through that income, or it is a majority of their income.
Okay. Where do you find places to park then when you're traveling that accept that many kids?
We are kind of, and when we first started traveling, being turned down by parks because we had so many kids was kind of a shocker because we had never considered that that would be an issue at all. And so it just never occurred to us. It wasn't on our radar. And so we end up staying at a lot of state parks, federal campgrounds. We also, one thing that I found very helpful is when we want to stay at a private campground, we don't call them. We email them with a picture of our rig and our family, maybe a link to our blog. Because if they can see that we're not scary, because people always think that if you have a big family, that means your kids are wild. You don't have enough attention to, you know, train each of them or whatever. And it tends to be the opposite. Because you have so many, it's too much if they're not well behaved. And so when people see, you know, what we drive, unfortunately, that is a factor sometimes in getting in, you know, what we drive. What our family looks like, they'll go on, I'll include a link to maybe our Facebook page, and they go on and see that we're just a typical family. A lot of times that will get us in, whereas if I would have just called them on the phone, they would say no. And we also, our family loves Thousand Trails. So we have a Thousand Trails membership, and it is, they don't really care. So it's the limit for them is 10 people. And, but even when we were traveling with like 13, they just said, well, just put 10 in your reservations and nobody ever cared. So that was really handy.
Okay. And you have also developed a reputation with that company and the campground so that when you stayed at some of those places, the kids aren't misbehaving and you often leave it better than it was when you arrived. You're fixing things around the campground or whatever the case might be. So that
right.
helps as well when you're looking to find another
yes,
place.
Yes, very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, super.
And we have our favorite campgrounds where we know that if we go, they know us, you know? Oh, it's those people, it's all those kids. So they know us and they know that we're not going to cause problems or whatever. And being on the road for so long, it's really nice that somebody came to my house, so I have to...
No problem.
I got distracted to tell the kids what to go do. Yes, it's nice to go, for our size of family, it's really nice to go back to the same places because they know what to expect and we know what to expect. Because we have been in some uncomfortable situations where, and it's usually for shorter stays where they don't get to know us, where we felt like the kids couldn't really go out and play and stuff. But that's not common. You know, mm-hmm. usually we feel pretty at home. We love that there is we appreciate that a lot of the campgrounds are kind of an older segment of people because they really, like, do great things for our kids. You know, having our kids hang out with the older crowd has helped them to mature. It's been really nice because it gets rid of a lot of the negative influences that maybe happen with maybe a younger crowd. But yes, we love to return to the same campgrounds because then it goes both ways that we both know what to expect. Mm-hmm.
Very good. I think a lot of people might be familiar, especially those people who are reading the magazine or listening to our podcast, et cetera. They might know what work camping is, and that's where you rent yourself out to somebody in exchange for money. But another aspect of work camping is running a business from an RV. And so...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's something.
And for us, we have actually work camped where we were camp hosts. And a lot of it had to do with the two different campgrounds that we did it at. They were BLM campgrounds in Montana. And we would not choose to do that again because going out at 2 a.m. to shut down drunk, you know, group is not something that we enjoy. And so this is something that we get to choose our hours. If we want to go to the zoo during the day, I can wait and connect with my customers that night. Mm-hmm. If we... maybe want to sleep in for the day, I can get my work out of the way, and then we can head to the pool and take a down day the rest of the day. So I get to pick what hours, when, what days even, that I want to invest in my business, and I'm not set to somebody else's schedule of being someplace at a certain time.
And you probably make more money.
I do.
Let's be honest. So, where are you guys going to spend the winter?
Well, we're not sure. I always have some shows I do in Texas in the spring, so we know we'll be there in the spring. Last year, we spent the year in North Carolina. This year, I think we're hitting California first for a pickleball tournament that one of our sons wants to go to. And then we'll probably head over to Arizona. We have family in Arizona, and... some activities that we did the first years that we were traveling, and our little kids either didn't get to do them or don't remember doing them. So we really need to go back and revisit Picacho Peak and the Sonoran Desert Museum and all those things we did with our older kids.
Sure.
And take the little kids. And then we'll head to Texas, and I don't know, we'll probably do a Civil War battlefield tour more east after one of my favorite shows at the beginning of April that's in Texas.
Okay. Very good. If people wanted more information, about you and enjoying your lifestyle, you do have a blog. And where can people find that information?
It is. So our blog address is ourtravelingtribe.com.
Okay.
And then we also have a Facebook page that's the Tickner Tribe.
Okay. Very good. And if people wanted more information about Lilla Rose and the opportunity that you talked about here, how could they get in touch with you?
So there is a button on the right-hand sidebar on our blog that is about Lilla Rose.
Okay.
They can also message us through our travel Facebook page, or they can go to my Lilla Rose site, which is lillarose.biz/
Dana T. Okay, Dana T. Very good. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Dana. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you taking time to talk to us.
Thank you, Greg.
Mm-hmm. Dana Tickner's story just fascinates me. I've been following their adventures for many years. I've had the opportunity to meet up with them several times along their journey. The Tickner Tribe is a fabulous, wholesome family. Those 12 kids have done more, seen more, and experienced more in 10 years than most adults will ever do in their entire lives. We'll probably need to have Dana back on again with her husband Vaughn to provide more details about how they actually make RVing work for a family of that size. You should see their RV. They pretty much gut a new toy hauler and remodel it to fit their family's lifestyle. Kids sleep in elevated bunks, leaving the rest of the space for family living. They're a closely bonded family with big hearts to serve others. When they spend money, they opt to spend it on experiences that create a lifetime of memories. The kids are road-schooled and some of the smartest, most polite children I've had the pleasure of meeting. You can meet the family and learn more about their adventure at www.ourtravelingtribe.com. I like this episode because it shows that it is possible for a family of any size to enjoy the RV lifestyle. It also shows that work camping doesn't always involve a job, it can involve a business. WorkCamper News can help you plan a course to live your own dream and get you on the road faster than you thought possible. For more information about opportunities to live, work, and play in your RV, visit www.workcampernews.com. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvpa.com. That's all for today's show. Next time, we'll be interviewing an employer who hires work campers to work at travel stations in the South. It's a great opportunity to escape the cold weather and see some of the most spectacular scenery in America. See you next time on the Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.